All right, moving on to item eight, reports. Trustee reports on meetings, seminars, and conferences. Any reports, Mr. Sloan?
Yes, I attended the CRCA conference in beautiful downtown Buellton last month, and it was really a pretty good conference. You got to take into consideration that, you know, the interest level is for retirees, not so much investment counselors, but they're in the process of changing their conference setup so that instead of having each one of the individual associations be responsible for hosting a conference every 8 years, it's going to change to pretty much the same setup that SACRS has, where CRCA will handle the hosting of it, and then it'll be set up with two different divisions, a North and South division, who will make a difference on how those are going to handle. And it's been decided they'll have one in-person conference a year instead of two, and then there'll be one conference that'll be virtual. So that was, there was a lot of discussion on that. That's been going on for a couple of years now. So I got out of I was the conference chair for a while, and once I decided I didn't want to do it, they said, let's figure out something else to do. So that's where we're at on that. A lot of discussion about what each one of the associations can do to maintain their membership levels. We're having issues with more people dying than signing up, so a lot of the associations are losing some of their members, and that's become a concern. Later in the afternoon, we had a presentation by the Department of Insurance. There's a California insurance crisis, basically, is what the tenure was for this entire presentation. The last insurance reform was over 30 years ago. There's historic inflation, which is causing a lot of increased costs for insurance companies. The cost of insurance is a factor because they've raised it, of course, to offset their costs. Growing climate change threats are causing more problems with fires, et cetera, and they're having problems with more and more people moving into areas that are more fire prone. And we're seeing that more and more where they have the huge losses with the LA fires and some of the fires that we've had up here. And then they talked about the accelerated growth of the FAIR plan, which is the plan where if all else fails and you can't get insurance with anything else, you go through this government agency and they'll provide the insurance for it. It's much the way that it's set up, the same way where auto insurance is. If you can't get insured with anybody, then the state will insure you.
Fire only, though, right?
Yes.
FAIR plan.
Yeah. And then since 2022, seven of the top 12 countries have either paused or stopped selling policies in California. So that's an issue. They're starting to come back now. They're starting to feel more comfortable in that. Some of the bills that are going through the legislature now are protecting the insurance companies a little bit more. So they're feeling a little more comfortable about insuring California. 90% of insurance companies eliminated earthquake insurance after 1994. That was the Northridge earthquake. And then 10 to 15% of the people now in California have earthquake insurance. And then there's a California Safe Homes grant program that grants low-income homeowners in high hazard areas to be funded to build and maintain defensible space and home hardening. So that's helping out a little bit too. Right after that, there was CAL FIRE presentation, which is kind of built on each other. Learned some things about CAL FIRE. They're one of the oldest fire districts in the nation. They're 120 years old. And basically they're into forest and wildland fires. However, now they've branched off into hazmat, swift water rescues, floods, earthquakes, search and rescue generally for people that are lost, train wrecks, up in the forest regions, medical emergencies and car accidents, of course. Their new normal is fire season is year round. It's not just strictly during the hot seasons, so they're prepared for that. They actually have contracts with 5 counties in California, Santa Barbara, Orange, Kern, Marin, and Ventura, where they provide fire services for that county. They have 68 aircraft, including 3 C-130s, which is, they had a pretty good presentation for that. That was interesting. And they do provide mutual aid for any county that needs it or requests it. The Palisades Fire, 16,000 homes and structures were destroyed, and they figured the cost of that was $250 to $275 billion.
Plus Altadena.
Yeah.
When you think of it.
I said plus Altadena. In other words, everybody focuses on the Palisades loss, but the Altadena loss was staggering. I know people who lost everything in Altadena. It's just unbelievable.
Later in the day, they had breakout sessions, much like SACRS does with legislative trustee breakouts where membership, safety, and the entire group is just basically finished off the day. On Tuesday, they had a presentation by the U.S. Space Force, which used to be Vandenberg Air Force Base, now it's Space Force Base. Chief Master Sergeant that is in charge of the base there came and spoke to us. I didn't realize that there's almost 100,000 acres in that Air Force base. It's all on the coast. You imagine what the value of that property is. So, but they service and launch operations for Air Force, Department of War, NASA, and various private organizations, including SpaceX, and the missiles that they launch are the Atlas, the Delta IV, the Pegasus, Minotaur, and the Falcon 9 SpaceX rockets. They have a pretty busy schedule. One of the things that was brought up was the fact that the different schedules between Florida's launch sites, Cape Kennedy and Vandenberg, is that Vandenberg sends their satellites in a polar orbit, and Florida sends their satellites in a longitudinal orbit. I thought that was very interesting. I had no idea that that was the case. I thought they all went to the same place at the same time. So, let's see. Also, they test intercontinental unarmed nuclear missiles, and they shoot them off into the ocean to test them. I had no idea that that was the case as well. We also had a presentation from the Solvang Museum. If you've never been to Solvang before, I highly recommend it. If you're up in that area, it's very interesting. I did learn some things about it. It was the first Danish community that's built specifically for that purpose, to bring the Danes over from Denmark and start up a community here. And Solvang means sunny field, in case you're interested in that. I found out too that if you've been there, you've seen the windmills that they have there. A very good friend of mine who just passed away, his father was responsible for building the very first windmill. His name was Rick Sorensen. And I talked to the lady that was putting on the presentation. I asked if the name was familiar to them. They said, oh yeah. Apparently the first windmill was not very well accepted. The people didn't want that in the city. They thought it was a eyesore. They got it built, and that was, now it's one of the focuses for people that come to visit there.
It's on every postcard.
Yep. Then later we had a presentation from Shelterbox, which I had never heard of before. It's a charity that's founded by the Rotary Club. It's emergency disaster relief. And what they do is they provide emergency shelter in all over the world, in all kinds of situations. Their belief is that having reliable shelter is the first step to safety, health, and recovery. And it's also a human right. And so they went through a lot of the situations where they've handled people all over the world. The longest ongoing response that they have right now is in Syria. They've been there since 2012, and they've assisted over 375,000 people. They had a major earthquake in India in 2001, and they're rated as the highest level as possible on Charity Navigator, and 83% of their donations go toward program expenses. And then finally, we had a legislative report by Amy Brown, who is our lobbyist for CRCEA. And if you ever heard Amy Brown speak, she's quite the trip. I won't go into detail because we just had a presentation with a ledge from Sackers, and it's basically exactly the same. But she was saying that the new pro tem is going to term out in 2028, so that'll be a new change. There'll be numerous Senate committee chairs. Ledge session ends on August 31st, and the governor's deadline to sign or veto the budget is, I think, September 30th. No, that's not the budget. I think that's the laws, legislation that they have. She's saying that we're going to have a $2.9 billion budget deficit, federal withholding, and threats to withhold funds next year. She said that if that's the case, then we're screwed. She says that's a technical term that they use that they use in Sacramento.
It gets used a lot.
Yeah. And I guess she says that right now with the governor's race going on and all the problems with people changing over the term limits that are coming up, people trying to change chairs from one seat to get into another seat, she says it's a real crap show, which is another technical term that they use. That wasn't the word she used.
I've heard it expressed differently.
Yeah, that wasn't the word she used. But anyway, overall, outstanding conference. I think I'm glad I went. It was well received. We had about 100 attendees. So.
All right, thank you for that report.
John?
Mike, yeah. The shelter group, I didn't catch there.
Shelter box.
Shelter box, yes.
It sounds to me like what they do is what Red Cross does.
Some very similar, except they focus more on shelter and Red Cross, outdoor shelter. Red Cross will take and shelter people like in hotels and set up, you know, different types of shelter. They're going out into the field where people are actually, they've lost their houses, they've lost their homes, and they go up and they set up a shelter, a tent, a tarpaulin. They bring in food, cooking utensils. And it's, you know, instead of Red Cross, where they are more generalized, they're focused on just the shelter. And like I say, I never heard of it, but apparently Rotary developed it in the UK 25 years ago. And seems like it's a real big, here, pass this down there.
Interesting. Thank you.
All right, any other reports? I had two. I wanted to follow up on my prior report on the National Association of Securities Professionals. I kind of short-shrifted my last report because I didn't have my notes, and I found them. I wanted to point out that the keynoter at that conference, and David attended as well, was Niso Abwaf. I could not remember his name when I previously reported. He's the chief economist for the Samuel Ramirez Company in New Jersey. He spoke on a number of topics. I did previously describe his presentation challenges, but
he saw in his outlook productivity gains due to AI, significant geopolitical risk, and growth is resilient but fragmented. So no great surprises in what he had to say from that particular conference. More recently attended the Institutional Investor Public Funds conference just last week, actually, and along with Christina, Tim, and Brian Rowe, I think is here. Yeah, there I see him. Yeah. Brian and I attended a couple of sessions. Just to kind of keep this high level, I don't remember if there are Chatham rules that govern this conference, but AI permeated, which was maybe not unexpected. And you know, it shows up in various ways, but I would say, you know, lots of discussion about AI's impact on employment, productivity, and of course, data centers. We talked a lot about data centers. Brian and I attended, I think the last session I was in was the data center. And of course, the sum and substance of that is we just don't know. Lots of uncertainty, no real answers. I guess part of the purpose of these conferences is to raise the issues, not necessarily have answers. But so there weren't a lot of definitive takeaways on AI. But there certainly continues to be a lot of discussion about it, and I suspect that we will also be discussing it in the relatively near future as an agency here. The other item that I took away, and I wasn't aware of it, and I'm sure our investment staff are, is what was described as the retailization of private equity, meaning large funds are packaging and retailing private equity for the retail investor, which I wrote a note to myself that I need to get better acquainted with this topic, and maybe it's something we can discuss here in the future, but I don't know whether and to what degree, if any, it would impact the type of institutional investments that we have in private equity and private credit, but retailization is coming is what I would say. Tim, I don't know if you look like you might have.
Retailization is here, I would say. The larger firms have made a concerted effort to go to the advisor community and package private equity and particularly private credit and sell it in unique packages to that community. I think the big push now is to get it into target date index funds that are in your 401ks and 457 plans. From an institutional perspective, you know, this is a wall of price insensitive capital coming into a somewhat already crowded space. So this is probably not a positive development for private equity long term. It may in fact be a liquidity provider in the short to medium term. So this is something we're focused on quite closely. I think this is gonna be a changing of the guard inside the private markets. You're gonna have folks who primarily sell into that market and just have that as a persistent source of permanent capital, and then you'll have firms that are smaller, nichier. So I think it's the scaled firms clearly are all pursuing this.
Interesting. Thank you. I appreciate the putting a little more color and context on that. So I didn't have any more to report from that particular conference. Are there any other trustee reports on conferences or forums? I'm not hearing any or seeing any hands up. So with that, I will turn it over to Christina, staff reports. Do we have any today?
Yes, so at the May 20th meeting, we will have a training on a new electronic travel reimbursement application that we have. If you are going to SACRS and would like to set that application up before SACRS, reach out to Henry and the staff will be able to get you onto that app. But at the May 20th meeting, accounting will do a presentation on that, and then we'll get everybody onto the app. David and Scott have had it, and hopefully they've been kind of testing it out for us, and hopefully it's going okay for them. But and the management team has been using it for at least 6 months now.
It's outstanding, just to pitch it a little bit. It may be the greatest thing since sliced bread for people like me who are lazy and don't like filling out expense reports. It's called Emburse, I think is the name of the app. And, you know, the short version is it'll take receipts, emails, plane tickets, upload them, organize them, send them to Lou's, and magically your report is done much quicker than the old-fashioned way of filling in an Excel spreadsheet. So it's great technology. Henry, thank you for the opportunity to demo it, so I'm really pleased with it.
Just to get a check or direct deposit?
Direct deposit.
Yeah, or if you choose to get a check.
Yeah, you can get a check if you're not paperless, so yeah, you can.
And then I wanted to also introduce our new IT manager. So Son Lu retired and Tariq Ali is in the back of the room.
Welcome.
It's 2 weeks in. We're very happy to have him. He has experience with a Serral system as well with Sagitech. So brings a lot of good knowledge. And then Colin has some updates.
Yeah, so about 2 weeks ago, we went live with a new phone system. You may recall that the reason we had to do this was because the current phone system the previous phone system we were using, Mitel, was at end of life over the summer, so we had to go out into the market and get something new. So we switched over to this Dialpad system. Dialpad's a big company, one of the leaders in this space. If you've ever flown out of Oakland Airport, you may have seen their gigantic ads all over the place. But in any event, 2 weeks ago, we switched over. Everything's running smoothly. A lot of thanks to our admin team and IT team and all those in retirement services and member services who take member calls for all their help getting us here. The experience for members should be pretty much seamless. So if you're calling in, it should be about the same, feel about the same for you. And then for our staff, it's a little bit different. It's an app that everyone can use. And then they also have the option to have desk phones if they want those as well.
Phone?
Buttons.
You're dating yourself.
That's it.
That's it. All right. Well, I think with that, we will take this opportunity